This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, all. It is Monday, the 4th of October. It is 12:06 p.m. in the afternoon. My name is Rich Bradbury. I've been joined in the studio by
Christine Wong.
We're going to be with you for about an hour this afternoon, talking about social impact businesses and the like. So in May 2021, startups, social enterprises, social innovators applied for the Malaysian Global Innovation and Creativity Centre's MAGICS Social Impact Challenge Accelerator, SICA. As a result, now 25 Malaysian startups are moving into the second phase of SICA, which is an impact accelerator program. Through SICA, business enterprises with revenue-generating models and impact-driven innovation could receive resources and curated support to enhance the market adoption of their solutions in tackling a series of social and or environmental challenges. The Impact Accelerator Program will also collaborate with 500 Global, one of the world's most active venture capital firms. It's designed based on the success of the Impact AIM model first launched by the UNDP in Armenia back in 2017.
Mm-hmm. And the UNDP, which is the United Nations Development Programme, has also said it launched similar Impact Venture Accelerator programs in Denmark, Indonesia, India, Singapore, Philippines, Vietnam, Bosnia and Thailand, working with ventures from over 45 countries. Now, in Malaysia, the Impact Accelerator programme will take the best elements of Impact AIM customised to local contexts and needs to boost the development of social entrepreneurship and impact-oriented startup ventures in Malaysia, contributing towards amplifying the positive impact of local innovations and achieving the sustainable development goals. The program primarily focuses on the following areas. So you've got affordable and accessible senior care services, upcycling plastic into commercial products, accessible and affordable education, providing children support in mental health and psychosocial support and access to safe and clean environments, and climate change and sustainable cities.
Now, with all that in mind, we thought we'd get in touch with an expert, and not only that, but we thought we'd ask you guys, what kind of support do social impact businesses need? Let us know via WhatsApp 018-789-8899, Twitter or Instagram. We are running a poll, a few options. Do they need financial aid? Do they need more accelerators? Do they need more partnerships or something else? Get voting, let us know. Whilst you guys are busy voting, we'll speak with Ms. Manon Bernier. She's the UNDP Deputy Resident Representative for Malaysia, Singapore and Brunei. We got on the line with us to tell us more about the impact of the pandemic on social entrepreneurship and the aims for SICA. So, Ms. Bernier, how did COVID-19 impact the businesses of young social entrepreneurs?
Thank you very much for the questions. So we really know that MSMEs in general were among the most hit by COVID-19. You know? And at UNDP, we have been working for several years now in supporting young entrepreneurs all across Asia Pacific and helping creating an enabling environment for young entrepreneurs. And we know that even under normal circumstances, no, young entrepreneurs face serious headwinds. Their nascent businesses usually have limited cash reserves and assets, which makes them more vulnerable to shocks. When COVID-19 hit, we really wanted to know if what was the specific impact of COVID on young entrepreneurs and how have they been involved to pivot or not, to pivot their business model. So with the support of City Foundation, we have conducted a research that revealed how the first year of the pandemic magnified the vulnerabilities and challenges that young entrepreneurs are facing in Asia Pacific. The survey was conducted with 376 young social entrepreneurs surveyed across Asia Pacific. On one hand, the survey has shown that 92% of young social entrepreneurs have been negatively impacted, and that the role of government assistance in supporting business was critical in survival of the businesses, particularly young entrepreneurs. Because of all the lockdowns, the business operation during the MCO period had really a direct impact on the cash flow of young startups. We know that they really rely on their daily operations to generate working capital. But at the same time, very interestingly, the research also demonstrates how youth-led enterprises were rapidly adapting their business model, deploying their capacity, creativity, ingenuity, and were able to overcome threats. And they have been able to offer innovative solution to support their communities.
Wonderful. Can you just stay on the line for us for just a few moments, please? We're going to have to take a short break, Ms. Bernier. But what we're doing is we're asking you guys, what kind of support do social impact businesses need? Let us know. We are polling on Twitter and on Instagram. A short break coming up. When we come back, we'll be speaking about how was this different from how social entrepreneurs in general were affected. We'll be right back after these messages. BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bites. My name is Rich Bradbury.
And I'm Christine Wong.
This afternoon, we are asking you, what kind of support do social impact businesses need? We are taking a poll over on Twitter and on Instagram. The same question if you want to get in touch via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. The reason we're asking this is that back in May 2021, startup social enterprises and social innovators applied for the Malaysian Global Innovation and Creativity Center's Social Impact Challenge Accelerator. As a result, now 25 Malaysian startups are moving into the second phase of SECA, which is an impact accelerator program. We've been hearing from Ms. Manon Bernier. She's the UNDP Deputy Resident Representative for Malaysia, Singapore, and Brunei. She's waiting patiently on the line for us. Chris, take it away.
Yes, so thank you very much for staying on the line. Now, how is the impact on young social entrepreneurs different of the pandemic, from how social entrepreneurs in general were affected?
Yeah, that's a good question. We know, and I've just explained now, that compared to adult-led social enterprise, youth-led social enterprise have certain characteristics that make them more vulnerable to crisis, such as limited assets. They sometimes have limited network or access to capital, and so they have fewer mechanisms to resist to shocks. So those vulnerabilities are observed and cutting across all youth-led enterprises. But while they have those vulnerabilities, they also possess many strengths. And we have been able to document four strategies that young entrepreneurs have used to adapt their business model and that they to be more resilient through the pandemic. First, they were able to adapt their business model to respond to needs brought on by the pandemic and the recovery. We have seen a number of social enterprises, they usually care for their communities. They're usually connected to the needs and the development needs of their communities. And we have seen, for example, designers or that were able to pivot and started building and contributing to PPEs, producing masks, and really changing their business model to address very specific local needs from the start of the pandemic. The second one is how they have been able to maximize digital and mobile solution. We know that young entrepreneurs are digital natives, and our research has shown that it was easier for them usually to adapt to online ways of doing business. Actually, 92% of youth-led social enterprise have implemented mobile or digital solutions. So it's almost all of them who at least responded to the survey. So they were able to make quick shift from physical shops to online marketplace. They were able to launch new digital products and services. So I think being digital natives was a huge asset for young people to be able to adapt their business model. So they were quite innovative, and 86% have developed innovation in response to the crisis. They've launched new products or services and transforming their operating model. The third strategy was pursuing financial coping strategies. So we know that several governments have put in place some financial support as well for young entrepreneurs. Although it's still not every one of them could pursue those or get that support. A number of them were able to pursue some financial coping strategies. And the fourth one is how they have been able to harness partnerships and networks. They are really connected, again, linked to their digital native characteristic. So the pandemic has really helped them through their networks to being able to survive and pivot their business model. So So they have access a wide range of financial and non-financial support from various sources to support their survival since the outbreak. However, interestingly, not all the measures were necessarily relevant for young entrepreneurs and considered relevant by young entrepreneurs. And actually, our research really resonate with also one national research here done by the University Sense of Malaysia, USM, that was done on the effectiveness of COVID-19 economic stimulus package and viewpoints from Malaysian young entrepreneurs. It's a small research where I understand 23 young entrepreneurs were interviewed, but on the different stimulus package. And for example, what I found interesting was the positive impact for young entrepreneurs was really on package successor Penjaya discounts for which entrepreneurs to commercialize their product and services in e-commerce platforms. So this was considered really relevant by young entrepreneurs, while other measure, for example, expense deductions of 300,000 ringgit on renovation and refurbishment cost was not necessarily considered relevant. You know, when you're in short-term survival mode, renovation was considered as a luxury. So I think it's quite interesting to see that regionally and in Malaysia, there are some similarities on how young entrepreneurs have benefited from the different supports that was put in place by the different governments. Of course, they've used digital technology. Most entrepreneurs use social media platforms to promote their platform and services and increase their visibility. They were quickly adopting to transaction via e-wallet, online payments. So again, I think one of their biggest assets was their capacity to onboard and to leverage their digital native characteristics.
Great. Now, can you tell us, was any specific segment hardest hit and why?
I'd like here to bring two different points. No, the first one is we've talked about the digital native being an asset, but also so that means also digital divide and impact on young rural entrepreneur, no, who were more in the rural communities. The pandemic has really highlighted the digital divide, reinforcing inequalities as those were reliable on internet access. And those who were not able to access internet were really disadvantaged when it comes to business from home, participating in online business, upscaling classes, access to online government services, and many other setbacks. So in Malaysia, I understand the broadband penetration, according to the National Department of Statistics, is at 90%. But if we look actually through mobile, this is mainly through mobile device. And if we look at fixed broadband penetration, the data is actually much, much lower. The percentage is actually much lower. So you can really see that this becomes really a disadvantage. If you are in a rural community with limited digital connectivity, this will greatly impact your capacity to pivot your business model. So if we really want to unlock the potential of digital economy, especially in rural area, we really need to make sure that we can have digital infrastructure that can provide, you know, consistent and reliable broadband services to be really inclusive for young entrepreneurs. The second point I want to talk about is young women entrepreneurs and all the challenges that they are facing due to gender inequalities. We know that when crisis strike, women and girls are harder hit by economic impact, no? Not only in Malaysia, but all over the world. Usually women earn less, they save less because they invest more in their family, they need to invest more in their family, their communities. And they are disproportionately hold usually more insecure job in informal economy or service sector. So this leaves them more vulnerable to absorb the economic shock than men. So if you look, UN Women has carried out as well survey in Asia Pacific that is clearly showing that with COVID-19, women were losing their livelihoods faster than men and with fewer alternatives to generate income. One of the clear impact was with all the lockdowns and schools being closed, a lot of women had to already taking, they're already doing more of their share of the unpaid care work, which was exacerbated through the pandemic. No? But unfortunately, there's still very limited gender disaggregated data on micro, small and medium enterprises. So we really need to first understand better and generate more data on young women entrepreneurs, what are the challenges they are facing, and really being able to adopt strategies, support package, financial product, and really develop a more gender sensitive business environment for young women. So I would say making sure that young entrepreneurs, no matter where they are, urban, rural, they can really benefit from the digital era, as well as making sure that the policies to support young entrepreneurs and young women entrepreneurs are fully based on their needs and really support gender-sensitive business development.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of support or assistance do these young entrepreneurs need? Which areas could benefit from perhaps more governmental assistance?
So what we have seen, again, through our survey was that 61% of respondents have received some form of financial support in response to COVID-19 pandemic. So, of course, if you ask young people what was the most beneficial for them, of course, the highest in demand was grant of cash transfer, no? As we discussed earlier. Because they're in hard need of cash flow and they need this cash flow for their daily operations. They don't have a lot of assets and a lot of savings. But the second type of support that was valued by young people was also space, equipment, were more in kind of resources that, and also there was a high demand from being able to tap into procurement schemes from the government, no? However, there were very few youth-led enterprises who have accessed government procurement schemes during the crisis. So I think it's quite a good sign that in the 12 Manisha plan, there's reference to the blueprint Pour Asahan Social 2021-2025 that will actually strengthen social enterprise development. No? And the program Pero Lahan Impact Social Kerajan, PPISK, sorry for my my pronunciation in Malay, will be rolled out to enable the onboarding of social enterprise to the national e-procurement system. That's actually quite a good, this will be quite a good opportunity for the social enterprises in Malaysia. I think this is a relevant measure, which will respond to the demand from young entrepreneurs. As you know, and we'll talk a little bit later, but some of the social enterprises, the selected social enterprises that will graduate from the SICA program from MAGIC will stand a chance to be onboarded on this program, the program Perelohan Impact Social Kerahadan. So I think overall, from what we know of young entrepreneurs in the region, I think they are looking for really direct kind of form of support of such cash flow in-kind resources above indirect measures.
Okay. I think at this point, we're going to have to take another short break. We'll come back in just a few moments, though. Reminder, though, folks, we are polling over on Twitter and on Instagram. What kind of support do social impact businesses need? Let us know. So far, the numbers are at 53.8% of you saying financial over on Twitter, 28.2% of you saying partnerships, with 17.9% of you saying accelerators. Do let us know if you have any other contributions to that via WhatsApp, 018-789-8888. We'll be back with Ms. Manon Bernier right after these messages here on Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
Breakfast for Masters, BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury.
And I'm Christine Wong.
We're about halfway through the show today for Enterprise Biz Bytes, and we are asking you, what kind of support do social impact businesses need? Do they need more financial help? Do they need more accelerators? Or do they need more partnerships? Let us know via voting over on Twitter, and you can also get us over on Instagram, where Chris has got some responses she's going to read out for us.
Well, we do have a response from the Frida Liu.
Oh, who's that then?
No idea.
Okay.
But she says when they get tax benefits, that way they can still run a business and the aid comes indirectly. And also when corporations get tax benefits by purchasing from them as well.
Okie dokie. Mm-hmm. Nothing over on WhatsApp as of yet. Folks, do get involved there if you want to speak to us. But of course, we do have somebody on the line with us still and waiting very patiently. Who do we have, Chris?
So we are speaking to Miss Manon Bernier, the UNDP Deputy Resident Representative from Malaysia, Singapore and Brunei. She's on the line with us to tell us a bit more about this topic. So thank you very much for holding on the line. Now, what are some specific programs and initiatives required by both the public and private sector in rebuilding these businesses?
That's a very good question, because beyond, you know, direct support and financial support, there's quite a high number of young entrepreneurs who said they greatly benefited from non-financial support. And the most common type of non-financial support that we see are advice related to technology or digital solution, advice on marketing, branding, as well as on financial planning and management. Now, all very important key assets that can help you grow your business and the capacity building through mentorship or other kind of available programs of support are also highly valued by young people. And there are two main areas where young people could benefit more and are requesting more. No, it's support related to trade and market intelligence, and support related to business matching and accessing new market. So I think it really shows that through COVID-19, young entrepreneurs brought all their skills or their digital capability to pivot their business model, to adapt to the new realities, but they still are looking to access new market. And that supports in bringing new actors and make sure that there can be a support system, a trust system, and building an ecosystem that can help access those new markets is critical for the future of young entrepreneurs in Asia Pacific. They have demonstrated they can be very important assets for building back better and the whole recovery mechanism, and they need support to access those new markets. So another good thing that we have seen in the 12 Malaysia plan is the announcement of this initiative on inclusive business model, no? Which will promote the involvement of social enterprise in the supply chain of GSCs and MNCs. No? So I think these are examples where providing supporting environment and access to those new markets can have a significant impact for those young entrepreneurs.
Okay, now for Sika, five challenges were chosen. Senior care services, upcycling plastic, accessible and affordable education, providing children support in mental health and psychosocial support and access to safe and clean environments and climate change and sustainable cities. Why were these particular challenges chosen and why do you think that they'll have the most impact here in Malaysia?
So as you know, UNDP's engagement with SICA is and with MAGIC is linked to our core mandate of supporting national partners' efforts to achieve the SDGs in Malaysia. So in that sense, there are many possible challenges that could have been selected for this collaboration. But for us, I would say the bottom line is how their relevance is how they're contributing in making a positive impact on the SDGs. And so the Share Prosperity Vision 2030, Malaysia SDG Roadmap, or you can say the 12 Malaysia Plan now recently launched, are all guiding frameworks towards achieving the ambition of the 20 Agenda for Sustainable Development. So the five challenges that were identified actually are contributing to those efforts. And in partnership with MAGIC to implement the accelerator program, those challenges were launched with various problem statement partners and were concluded after a series of virtual pitch day co-organized by MAGIC and problem statement partners who are Khazanah Nasional Berhad, Citrin Capital, Landa Sandumayan, UNICEF Malaysia, and Profiseco Consultant, between the 13th and 23rd of July 2021. So through those challenges, we were able to select 25 startups and ventures, no, highly scalable and impactful startup for SICA.
Mm-hmm. And out of interest, which of the topics had the most applicants and why do you think that is?
That's an interesting question, no? But out of the five challenges, interestingly, affordable and accessible senior services have received the highest application. To be honest, I don't think I could really give an explanation, a real explanation to why this one more than others. I think Malaysia, being an aging society, as I've mentioned earlier, was surely, attract a lot of attentions and opportunities in the future because a number of things in society will need to change and new services will need to be provided. So this might attract more young people to be interested or more entrepreneurs to be interested in this challenge. But honestly, I cannot really, because I think all of them are very relevant and important, no? And are all part of long-term recovery for COVID-19.
Okay, we still have a couple of questions for you, but can you just be a little bit more patient and we'll just take another short break here while we are still asking, what kind of support do social impact businesses need? Let us know. We're taking a poll over on Twitter and on Instagram. Financial, accelerators, partnerships, or something else. We'll be right back with our final messages for Miss Bernier when we come back. To take us into the break, it's the Jackson 5 with Blame It on the Boogie here on BFM 89.9.
Build fortunes modestly. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. It's almost time for me and Chris to wrap up for the afternoon. Chris, do you have any more responses over on Instagram?
I do not.
People are very quiet today. The question is, what kind of support do social impact businesses need? Do they need more financial support, more accelerators, more partnerships? 51.2% of you saying it's financial support, with 27.9% of you saying partnerships. We're speaking about this because back in May, startups, social enterprises and social innovators applied for the Malaysian Global Innovation and Creativity Centre's Social Impact Challenge Accelerator, SICA. As a result, now 25 Malaysian startups are moving into the second phase of SICA, which is an impact accelerator program. We've been speaking and hearing from Ms. Manon Bernier, the UNDP Deputy Resident Representative for Malaysia, Singapore and Brunei. We've had her on the line all the way through the show, and she's been very patient with us. We've got a couple more questions. Ms. Bernier, how were the pitches evaluated? How do you determine which pitch is more successful than another?
So our goal was to select innovative solution with strong business potential. So of course, you need to have a viable commercially business model, but also that has an impact on the SDG. So being able to deliver financial result with positive impact. So in scaling up their business, we were looking at how what kind of impact they can get on community, on the environment that their businesses operate in. These were basically the broad, categories. And of course, we have a list of specific criteria. So as more and more companies recognize that the SDGs are levers for innovation, growth, and better competitive performance, no, we know that there are more and more investors that are looking for solutions that generate impact. And I think this is what in Malaysia, but also all across Asia Pacific, there is more and more recognitions that we cannot do business as usual, no? And that more investors, if you want to have attract more investors in the future, you will need to also take in consideration impact measurement and management as a powerful framework to reduce risk, discovering new market opportunities and strengthening the company purpose narrative and attracting consumers and investors.
Mm-hmm. And so now through to phase two, what can the winners from the first round expect? How much support will they be given?
In UNDP, I think if you talk to people who are aware of the SDGs, everyone will be in favor, no? And everyone recognize that there has to be a stronger alignment with impact. But a number we're asking, but how do we do it? Is the how that is missing and is still lacking. So in terms of, I think there is more and more willingness, more and more awareness, but how do we translate this willingness into a real sustainable business model. So this is why UNDP has developed a very, very specific and tailored accelerator program that is focused on SDG impact alignment. And we have developed what we called SDG impact measurement and management toolkit. And we will be working with 500 Global as well, one of the world's most active venture capital firms. So through the Impact Accelerator Program, the startup will gain access to business acceleration support from network of mentors, and they will be introduced to impact measurement methodologies to assist them in aligning their business strategies to the SDGs. So following the 10-week program, where teams will be groomed for preparedness, they will get the opportunity to present their business pitch in a demo day, where they will gain connection to networks of investors, scale-up partners, before moving to the third phase of the CICA program. So what kind of support the program aims to support the venture with? Helping to measure and grow impact. So first, what is impact? How do you define impact? What are the parameters? How do you parameterize impact in SDG context? How do you align growth strategies and target generating elevated measurable impact? We will also provide access to expertise, practices, networks, and understanding of development country market. And third one, they will be we will help them with impact stories for impact ventures. So how do you visualize, how do you create inspiring impact stories and development context of your business solution to facilitate access to capital? And the fourth area is assisting in fundraising and pitching with impact investors. So coaching focus on fundraising strategies, pitching to access funding for impact and development related resources. So four key, very important building blocks and support will be provided to the ventures.
Great. Final question then, and thank you for being so patient, is why does the nation need to support this segment of the industry, and how or why are young social entrepreneurs important to the economy and the future business landscape and, you know, the nation's sustainability agenda?
So I think over the past year, young social entrepreneurs have really shown extraordinary leadership on the front line of COVID-19 crisis. And I've explained how they have been able to pivot their business model, respond to community needs, use their digital native skills. And during the course of the pandemic, we have seen a lot of innovative, rapid, and resourceful response of young social entrepreneurs who have developed their capabilities, energy, creativity to support their community to mitigate the impact of the pandemic, even while facing unprecedented threats to their business own survival. So our research really revealed how important the support from local and national government and many other stakeholders has been to these social enterprises over the past year, and how important this support will remain in the future. Far from being beneficiaries, young people are uniquely qualified to play a role in the recovery from COVID-19, because they have the greatest stake in the decision made today, which will determine the future they will inherit. No? I think they have this consciousness as well and this sense of urgency that we need to tap into. So to ensure lasting recovery, COVID-19 strategy must incorporate policies, capacity building, funding support for young entrepreneurs who are actually shaping the future of their community. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much for spending all of this time with us throughout this entire show. Of course, if you've been listening, that was Ms. Manon Bernier, the UNDP Deputy Resident Representative for Malaysia, Singapore and Brunei. She's been on the line with us to talk to us more about the impact of the pandemic on social entrepreneurship and the aims for CICA. We want to thank all of you guys for your contributions, for your tweets and for taking part in the poll, of course. Final numbers, 29.5% of you saying more partnerships, 50% of you saying more financial aid, with 20.5% of you saying they need more accelerators. What were the numbers over on Instagram, Chris?
We don't have numbers on Instagram today.
Of course
it's an open-ended question, Rich.
It's Monday.
It's Monday.
I'm allowed that. Mm-hmm. Right. Let's wrap up for today then, of course. Now, don't go anywhere, though, because coming up after the 1 o'clock news, it is a Breakfast Grill replay. And it is with the 12th Malaysia Plan is the country's economic roadmap for the next 5 years and its emphasis on economic transformation, restoring the growth momentum and improving the well-being of all Malaysians, with a GDP target of 4.5 to 5.5% and 10,500 ringgit monthly household income by 2025. Is it too ambitious? And is there actual political will to execute the strategy effectively? The Breakfast Grill posed these questions to Dato' Sri Mustapha Mohamed, the minister in the Prime Minister's department. That's all coming up after the 1 o'clock news. To take us up there, we have some music from Tame Impala. It is Solitude is Bliss here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.